Okay, take your Bibles and let's go now to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 40. Ezekiel chapters 40 to 46 would be 202 verses of minutely detailed information about a coming temple. Now, I'm going to just open up the introduction with looking at this just for a moment, but I want to talk about temples past, temples prophetic, and temples present. Because the temple is going to be the location. According to the book of Psalm, chapter 132, verses 13 and 14, Jesus Christ has selected Jerusalem as the location where he is going to dwell among his people forever. Ezekiel 40 to 46 is 202 verses, minute, detailed information about the temple, referred to as Messiah's temple, that Jesus Christ will build. We'll come back to Ezekiel 40, and we'll look at that temple in a moment. Go to Zechariah, if you will. Let me show you why I'm talking about the temple and why it is important for us to understand the temple. When we conclude, we will come to an understanding, I believe, of the greatest evidence that the rapture of the church could take place at any moment. In Zechariah is one of those prophets that prophesied after the Babylonian captivity. He was qualified. He had studied for his 28 years the priesthood and qualified as a priest while in the Babylonian captivity. He comes out of the Babylonian captivity, returns to Israel, and his ministry then is to exhort those people that had returned with Zerubbabel, about 50,000 of them, 49,897 to be exact, who had come into the land again to build the temple. Now, it would take a period of time. The Babylonian Empire fell in 539 B.C., and they did not finish building the temple until 515 B.C. Approximately 25 years it took them to build a temple when they should have been able to put it up in just at least 2 or 3 years. Solomon built a magnificent temple, and it only took him 7 years. They're not talking about building an elaborate temple like Solomon's temple, a simple temple that they could do their sacrificial activities and their worship service in the temple, but they just kept messing around, getting more involved in building their own homes than indeed building the temple. Now, that has a spiritual application because many times we get focused on our own projects instead of the projects of the Lord. Zechariah was chosen as one of the two prophets that would prophesy during this time to exhort the people to build the temple. The other was Haggai. These men were contemporaries. One of them was an old, crusty guy like I am. The other was a young, suave guy like Bill. And the fact was, and that was Zechariah, and he would just kind of encourage him with his nice little smile. There is an approach that can be suave and debonair, like Zechariah would take. The other one, Haggai, was crusty old guy. Build a temple and quit messing around. And that's kind of the guy I model myself after. But Zechariah is one of my favorite prophets. I love Zechariah because I love the conversation that he was able to have with Jesus Christ here in chapter 1. Zechariah chapter 1, starting in verse 12, he meets face-to-face, person-to-person with Jesus Christ. Now, I say that because this was a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ in chapter 1 and verse 12, when it says, then the angel of the Lord, would be a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ. Every time you see the angel of the Lord, it's talking about a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ, El Shaddai. Now notice what he says to Zechariah in this face-to-face meeting that they had. Look at verse 14. So the angel communed with me, and he said unto me, cry thou, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with a great jealousy. If you have opportunity to understand Hebrew at all or have a Hebrew lexicon, you can look it up. And the flavor there is, I am aggressively possessive of for the city of Jerusalem. A bit stronger than the word jealous. I am aggressively possessive for the city of Jerusalem. And then in verse 15, I am very sore displeased with the heathen or the Gentiles that are at ease. And the flavor in the Hebrew there would be, I am very sore displeased with those who are arrogantly secure in controlling the Temple Mount, controlling the location where I'm going to come back to. Now that is the case. That gold dome building that stands on the spot where the first temple stood and the second temple stood has been there 1,316 years. It was built in 691 A.D. The first temple stood there for 400 years. The second temple stood there for 600 years, a total of 1,000 years. But those who control that sacred spot, the most sacred piece of real estate in all of creation, they have grown arrogantly secure with that piece of real estate. Verse 16, now the Lord tells Zechariah what he's going to do. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, I am returned to Jerusalem with mercies. My house shall be built in it, saith the Lord of hosts, and a line shall be stretched forth upon Jerusalem. Now, though he had a ministry 2,500 years ago to the Jewish people who had returned from the Babylonian captivity and was exhorting them to build the temple, all prophecy has a short-term fulfillment and or a long-term fulfillment. We know he's talking about the future because it says he is going to come to Jerusalem. He is going to build his temple in that location. Go to chapter 6 of Zechariah and verse 12, where we have the information that indeed that is the case. This coming prophetic temple that is going to be built is going to be built by Jesus Christ. Verse 12, Zechariah chapter 6 and verse 12. And he spake unto me, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, behold, the man whose name is the Branch, and that is one of the names for Jesus Christ, the Branch. I'll not take time to look at that, but you can trace it, the Branch, one of the names for Jesus Christ. Behold, the man whose name is the Branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Now, the next verse is going to tell us for sure that this is who it's talking about. Jesus Christ is going to build this temple, and I'll point out the time that that is going to take place. Verse 13, even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. And so he's going to be ruler of the entire universe, all of creation, dominion given to him, a kingdom that will last forever. He will be King of Kings and he will be Lord of Lords. In addition to that, he will be the high priest. The high priest, not after the order of Aaron, but after the order of Melchizedek, he will be a high priest in that temple. So Jesus Christ is telling Zechariah, I will return, I will build my temple. Now the first movement in a place of worship for the Jewish people would take place while they were traveling during the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. In the book of Exodus, go with me back to Exodus just a moment. In the book of Exodus, in chapter 25 through the last chapter, chapter 40, we see God giving Moses all the instructions on how to build the tabernacle, every aspect of it. Talks about how to build the Ark of the Covenant, starting in verse 10 of chapter 25. In chapter 25, verse 23, it talks about the table of showbread that will be built. And on down through the line, the golden candlestick, which is the menorah, the seven-branch candelabra, starting in verse 31. How the curtains should raise in chapter 26. And moving all along, he moves through here, and then he tells them how to address themselves as they will be involved in the priesthood, starting in chapter 28, what the high priest should wear. About the holy crown, the 24-karat gold golden crown that will fit on their heads over the items that they'll be wearing, what the altar should look like. All through here, we see a description of the tabernacle, which would be the prototype for the coming temples. The tabernacle was a transportable worship center, and they would use that during their 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. When they came across the Jordan River about 3,500 years ago, they would come in to capture the land. They would capture the city of Jericho first, then they would move on to Ai. That's how you pronounce it. It's I in Hebrew. Ai is pronounced I in Hebrew. And so they would capture that location. They would go up to Shiloh. You pronounce that Shiloh. It's Shiloh in Hebrew. And they would go there and they would set up the tabernacle. You can go there. On some of our tour trips, we go up to Shiloh and we go out to the location where for 350 years they erected a tabernacle in Israel for the purpose of housing the Ark of the Covenant. Thus, the Ark of the Covenant would have rested there in Shiloh, in the center part of the state, basically in Samaria, during that 350 years when they were in the land at first. You remember, of course, what happened there. The Philistines came in and they took the Ark of the Covenant because Ichabod was written over all that they were doing. They had corrupted themselves during that time. The Philistines kept the Ark of the Covenant for 7 months. They decided they were going to get rid of it when they had some physical problems. And so they, some of you laugh, you've studied the scriptures. Actually, what they had was hemorrhoids. And that's exactly what the scriptures say. And they didn't have anything to do to deal with it, so they gave the Ark back. And ultimately, after 120 years, King David would go down to Kiriat Yarim, which is on the Jerusalem-Tel Aviv highway, and they would get the Ark of the Covenant. He would bring it into the city of Jerusalem, where he erected a tabernacle to temporarily house the Ark of the Covenant. And then King Solomon, according to the Davidic covenant, fulfilling that promise, would build the first temple. Go to 2 Chronicles just a second.